This free MP3 is brought to you by HappyWife.com to help you create the marriage of your dreams.
When we commissioned a study at my institute, my relationship institute, we found that a majority, almost 80% of the couples came because they had some sort of an issue around communication. And we understand that that makes a lot of sense, because communicating in general is very, very difficult. But communication between a husband and a wife, with all its preconceived intentions and thoughts and trying to come together and living together on all different levels of intimacy and relationship, of course communication is very, very difficult. What we're going to be discussing in this program is I'm going to be talking to you about general principles of communication and general principles of communication in a marriage, just to understand generally why people have problems communicating. And then after it, we're going to discuss how do you communicate properly to create that level of flow that you need in the relationship to feel the connection you need to feel. But you should know we're going to have a lot of series dealing with communication, because communication is such a vast subject in a relationship. For example, we're going to have one on conflict resolution, we have one on how to have a good fight, we're going to talk about how to deal with specific issues in a relationship, how to communicate to each other while you're dealing with issues, but that's not what this program is about. What we're going to be discussing in this program is just a focus on communicating with each other and creating a flow of communication that creates that connection. And when you do that, a lot of the issues and a lot of the things that you're finding you're having a hard time communicating about, those things start going away. So really, this is preventative medicine. This is learning how to communicate to stop problems and to stop issues before they come up. Because communicating with each other is such a vital part of just the flow of the relationship. You gotta relate. Relationship means relating. And how do you relate? You relate through communication. Verbal communication, nonverbal communication, body language, thoughts, looks, snarls, whatever it may be. You're constantly, constantly communicating. And if most of your communication is just reaction, when somebody does something, you just react in a certain way, the patterns that we seem to create with each other will start creating a negative spiral. Oh, it's hard to communicate. I don't want to communicate. Every time we do communicate, it causes a fight. It causes an argument. Oh, no, not another thing we have to communicate about. Ah! Really, what we want to do is we want to create a pattern of communication so that you look forward to talking to each other, so that you look forward to spending time together, so that you look forward to sharing your life with the other person on a very small, simple way and a simple level. Because most of marriage, you know, I talk to my singles, the single people that I teach how to date, I talk to them and I say, you want to know something? I don't want to break any of your bubbles. All the stereotypes we get from the media and the romance novels and the soap operas. But most of marriage is mundane. 90% is mundane. You're just doing stuff together. You're going shopping, paying bills, changing diapers, just doing stuff together. And you have to learn how to communicate on that level, on the seemingly mundane level, because that's where you build the goodwill in most of your marriage so that you can deal with the issues when they come up. Now, we are definitely have skills for dealing with issues. We're in conflict resolutions. That's its own program. Dealing with issues, learning how to speak through issues, that's its own program. But here we're going to learn basic rules for communication, and especially communication between a husband and a wife. Now, I want to remind you that this program is a workshop. This program is not a lecture. So when I give you workshop exercises, what I want you to do is I want you to make sure you have your pen, make sure you have your piece of paper, and the two of you, it always works best if both of you together will do the workshop together. And sometimes you're going to have to make your own lists, and then you're going to share it with each other. But it's really important that both of you do this. It's fine if you just want an intellectual exercise. You want to understand things. But it really makes a difference in your marriage when you take the principles we're talking about and you personalize it and you work within your own marriage and apply these principles. That's when you'll see the growth and the change. So I implore you, I say please, please go get your workbook, go get your pen, go get your piece of paper and get it ready because we're about to do the very first workshop. The first mistake that we make is when we're looking at our spouse, or anybody else for that matter, and we start communicating with them. First mistake we generally make is that we look and we say, you know what? What I just said is what they just heard. They must have heard what I said, because I said it in the way that obviously I'm communicating it well, because that's how I communicated it, and that's how, based on the way that I understand communication, that's what's needed in this circumstance. And the truth is, that most of the time when we have gaps in communication, most of the time we have those gaps because what we said is not what was heard. And the reason why that is because the person that you're talking to, the person that you're dealing with, they have different personalities, completely different. So when they hear something, it may trigger something that their mother said. Woo, and shut them down. Or the way you said it may have been that way that their father used to look at them. Shut them down. Or you remind them with that tone of a boss they used to have. Or a bully at school. Or it's just their personality. When you say something, it makes them uncomfortable because they're not such an open person like you are. Or maybe you said something and you feel like you completely revealed yourself to them. When the truth is, based on who they are and their upbringing and their personality, they said, what was that? What's that about? That you hardly said anything. But for you, you revealed everything. For them, there was nothing because for them, they're so open compared to you. So what we need to do, the very first thing, the very first workshop exercise, is we need to sort of take an inventory of your communication tendencies. I want you to understand how you and your spouse communicate. Now, please get your pen and your piece of paper, get it out, and I'm going to give you a series of questions, and I want you to stop the program after each question and write out the answer. So here's the very first question. You have your pen? You have your piece of paper? Okay. You ready to get started? I'm going to give you a minute so you can go get it. Okay, go get it. Go get it ready. Put on pause, go get your pen, I'll wait for you. Go on. Okay, if you don't do this in writing, it really doesn't have the same effect because, number one is when you put something in writing, it helps you clarify and organize it within your own mind. But second reason is because if you don't put it in writing, it's going to be very difficult for you to share it with your spouse. I mean, you got to share it. That's going to be part of the exercise, is sharing your communication tendencies with your spouse so they can understand you. So we can start building and bridging the gap between the two of you. So I again, please, if you don't have your pen and piece of paper, go get it. Put on pause and go get it. And I will wait for you because I care about you doing the exercise properly. Now go get it, please. Okay, you back? Excellent. Here's the very first, in the workshop number one, here's the first question. There's a few questions. The first question is, I want you to think about how your family communicated when you were growing up. What was the general way that they used to communicate? Was it an open family? Did you talk about everything? Was it a closed family? Was it secretive? Did everybody create alliances with other people? Did nobody speak to anybody? Did you brush things under the rug? What is the general family communication orientation when you were growing up? Okay, I want you to do that first. It doesn't have to be so specific. Maybe there's some sort of a philosophy that they had, which they used to talk to you about communication. Or maybe there was nothing. Or probably something in between. But I would like you to write down how you grew up in your family in terms of communication. Take as much time as you need. When you're finished, I'll give you the next part of the exercise. Put on pause and do the first part. Okay, beautiful. So I hope that you examined, you just sat down, you examined how it was, how you grew up. Was your family open? Wasn't it open? Take a look at it. It's quite interesting. Now, the second thing is what I would like you to do is I would like you to look at the pattern of communication that you've set in your marriage. For example, do you only communicate properly when there's some sort of a crisis or some sort of an issue? Or maybe you have everyday communication, but when an issue comes up, then you avoid communicating issues. So please put on pause and try and figure out the pattern that you've set in your relationship, just your husband or your wife, just the two of you. Set the pattern. What's the pattern that you've now created in your communication? Try and be specific. Try and understand the communication pattern. Okay, go ahead, put on pause. Okay, how did that go? So now, number one, we have your family history about how you communicated when you were growing up. Number two, we saw the pattern that you've now placed into your relationship and into your marriage. And number three, I want you to compare number one and number two. I want to see how your marriage seems to reflect how you grew up, what your tendencies were in your family growing up versus what the tendencies are now in your own relationship and your marriage. Compare them. What do you think? Are you following the same patterns that were instilled in you as a child for good or for bad? Have you created new paradigms in your own relationship? Why are they different? I want you to do this in writing. Very important. Please do it in writing. Show how they're similar and show how they're different and why they're different. Go ahead, please. Pause the program and do it now. Excellent. Okay, you're back. Great. Now, the fourth part of the first workshop, and I want you to do this in writing, and I want you to be very, very specific. It's a little bit different than 1, 2, and 3, but it's very important that you do it exactly the way I'm telling you. I want you to put in writing how it makes you feel, when you are communicating with each other. At those moments in your relationship, in your marriage, in time, whether it's not now, if it's 5 years ago, if it is now, there's certain times where it's still you feel the communication is on. At those moments, what does it make you feel like? How does it make you feel? What does it mean to you when you have that communication? Put it in writing. It's very important. Make sure it's in writing. On the flip side, what I would like you to do is write down, it's very specific, how it makes you feel when you feel that you're lacking communication, when you're not communicating. How does it feel? What does it feel like to you? What's lacking? What does it mean to you to be in a relationship where you don't have that communication? Be as specific as you can and do it in writing. Okay, pause the tape and get it done. Come on. Okay, we're back. We have 1, 2, 3, and 4 for the first workshop. You have your family communication history. You have the patterns that you set in your own marriage. You have a written comparison between the two. And you have your how it makes you feel when you have or are lacking communication. Now, this is the most important part of the exercise. I want you and your spouse, you both should have done the first parts of the exercise. But even if you haven't and it's just you, can still do this. I want you to communicate with your spouse to give over the first four parts of the workshop. Now, if you both did it, you both start at number one. Honey, let's talk about our family communication history when we were growing up. What was it like in your family? What was it like growing up in your family around communication? What were the patterns? And read and discuss what you wrote. So now you go first and then your spouse will go and you'll talk about what it was like when you were growing up in terms of communication. When you finish number one, move to number two. Talk about the patterns now that you've set up in your own relationship, in your own marriage. What are the patterns? What kind of a communication patterns? When do we tend to communicate? When do we tend to shy away from communication? Is it the mundane stuff we have trouble with? Is it the issues that we can't deal with? Are we both running away because of our family? Are we both running away? We're not even communicating at all? Only that which is necessary? Do we never discuss feelings? Do we only discuss feelings and never discuss practical things? Discuss with your spouse based on what you wrote down, the patterns of communication that you have in your marriage today. What have you created? Both of you have created a relationship that has communication systems. They're very sophisticated. You need to talk about them. You need to understand them. Have that discussion now. Pause the program. Okay, great. Now that you've discussed your family history and you've discussed that, now I would like you to have the discussion of number three. Talk about how you set up your patterns based on your family history. Talk about the similarities between how you grew up and what you're doing in your marriage. Talk about it. Talk about how it's different. Why you made departures. Why did you run away from it? If your family was so open and communicative, and it made you feel uncomfortable because you felt each time you got into communication, it ended up you getting somehow something wrong that you did was brought up, so therefore every time you have communication, it ends up being a soul-searching thing, and it made you uncomfortable, so you run away, so you ran away from whatever it is in your marriage. See the comparisons. We need to understand the communication tendencies that you have as an individual and as you've set up as a couple in your relationship. Please have that discussion. And then the last thing you're going to talk about is you're going to talk about how it makes you feel when you are firing on all cylinders in the communication part of your marriage. How does it make you feel? And when you're not, how does it make you feel? You have it all written down. Talk to each other about this. Do it now, and I'll come back to you in just a minute. How was that? How'd that feel, talking to each other about your communication styles? Hopefully just talking about it, discussing it, and understanding your communication tendencies will go a long way in improving the communication in your relationship. But that's not enough. See, understanding your individual communication styles is very good. Understanding the relationship communication style is very good. But there's a huge element in a marriage where the communication is very different compared to any other relationship in a marriage. And that's really based on the fact that communication between a man and a woman is very, very different. So even though now two human beings, we understand our communication, that's great. That's the foundation. You got to know that. And hopefully we do now. But now we gotta throw on top of that the difference between men and women in their communication styles. In order to do this, what I would like to do is I'd like to share with you an excerpt from the communication section of the program, How to Make a Good Marriage Great. And there we talk about the difference in the way men and women communicate. Now, men and women are very, very different. We always use the analogy that a relationship is like an iceberg. What percentage of the iceberg is above the surface? About 10%, 90% beneath the surface. That's the relationship. Men are in a boat. Women are in a submarine with a periscope. So that's a relationship. Most of the relationship is the hidden world, and women see the hidden world of a relationship much more naturally than a man sees the hidden world of a relationship. We just see that which is above the surface. And that's the communication in a relationship as well. Most of what's said in communicating is the 90% of what's not said. And women tend to more naturally communicate with understanding that 90% of the communication that's not said. But for men, it's not like that. It really isn't like that. So I would like to explain to you why that is. Because if men and women are so, so unbelievably different, doesn't it make sense, therefore, that they speak different languages? And men and women do. We speak very, very different languages. Women speak a language called woman speak. Men speak a language called man speak. Now the difference between woman speak and man speak is pretty tricky because we both use the same words. But they have entirely different meanings in the relationship. For example, whenever I fly around all over the world and I give lectures, And when I give my lecture, at the end of it, I always call my wife on the cell phone on the way back to the hotel or to the airport, and I'll say to her, "Hey, Annie, how you doing?" And she'll say, "Great, whatever." And she'll say, "How did it go?" And usually it goes very well, so what'll I say? I'll say, "Fine." So when I say fine, what do I mean? I mean fine, it went well, I say fine. I'll turn around and I'll ask my wife, "Hey, honey, how did that thing that you were doing today, how did that go?" And she'll say, "Fine." What does she mean? Who knows what she means? I mean, she could mean fine. She could mean not fine. She could mean, "How dare you ask me at a time like this?" And it's all in the word fine. Why is that? Because men and women use words differently. Women use words as relationships. Men use words as words. So when a woman says something in the relationship, when she's relating to it, when she says something in this relationship, every word is a connection. Every word is a relationship. Every word has 90% that which it means is beneath the surface. But for men, men use words as words. So what we say is what we mean to say in the relationship. And so much of the miscommunication that happens in a marriage is that a woman honestly thinks her husband is speaking woman speak. And he's not. He's speaking man speak. And the man thinks that she's speaking man speak. And she's not. She's speaking woman speak. So if a woman would understand that her husband, when he says something, it doesn't mean 90% of the hidden world. Mean it. Just take it as a face value, what he said. Don't try to read too much into it. Is this what you said? Is that what you meant? That's it. And when a man is listening to the woman communicate with him in the relationship, he has to understand that most of what she said is not what she said, but what she meant or how she felt. And she's just using these words as the means to communicate that hidden message, that hidden feeling. So women need to learn how to speak to their men in man speak. And men need to learn how to speak to the woman in woman speak. And I'll give you an example. Let's say that the woman asks the man, "Listen, honey, on your way home from work, would you please go to the store and pick up a few items for me?" And he comes home and he forgets. So what does he think? He thinks, so what's such a big deal? I forgot to go to the store. Sorry, I'll go later when I have time. I'm really sorry. Oh, I'll run right out now and do it. Who knows? But for him, see, it's not such a big deal, because when she said, "Will you go to the store?" in man speak, all he heard is, "Will you go to the store?" But what did she really mean? Of course she wanted him to go to the store, and she needed the items. But if it wasn't such a big deal, she would just say to him, "Okay, just go now, or go later." But what she really says, and what she really means, is that, "I want you to go to the store." Great. We need the items. That's great. But when you don't go, what it means to me is that you don't respect what I ask you. You don't respect me. You don't value how hard I work. You don't value what I do in my life. You don't make me feel that you appreciate everything that I go through day to day for you and for the family. You don't see that if your boss told you to do something, you would jump at the chance to run and do it. But when I ask you to do something, it's not such a big deal. All of that is the underlying message that she's saying when she says, "Please go to the store. Please go to the store because I need the items." That's above the surface. But the beneath the surface part is, "Please go to the store because I need the items and I'm asking you to do it." And in a sense, I'm testing our relationship. I'm seeing whether you respect me as much as you respect your boss. Whether you'll do for me the same way you will do for your boss. Wow. Wow, that's a pretty heavy underlying message, relationship message. He'll miss it completely. And for her, it's natural. So she should communicate to him, "Honey, please go to the store for me. And I love when you do it, because when you do it, it makes me feel that you appreciate what I ask you and you take what I say seriously." Now all of a sudden you're speaking, man speak to him. You're taking away the hidden messages. And you're bringing the feelings, that which is beneath the surface, up above the surface, and talking it out with him in a way that he'll understand it. And also men, when you're communicating with the woman, and you don't mean more than it says, and she's starting to get agitated by it, and you ask her to do something, you communicate something to her in some way, whatever it is, and you see she's starting to get agitated, and you're giving one of those looks going, wait a minute, this thing's going out of control, the snowball is starting to create this avalanche, and I have no idea how it's happening. Well, you know what you do? Stop it before it starts. You turn to her and you say, you know, honey, I said something, I see that it's having an effect on you, but I didn't mean it. Whatever it is you think I meant, I didn't mean it. All it is what I said. There's no hidden agenda. There's no hidden meaning. The words are just the words. I do that in my own marriage with my wife. We'll talk about something and I'll see that I triggered something in her, that an emotion comes out, and I'll go, whoa, honey, relax for a second. I'm telling you, whatever you think it means, that's not what it means. Trust me. I'm a guy. I don't mean it. Learning how to speak man speak, learning how to speak woman speak, is a very important part of the relationship in terms of communication, and learning how to communicate properly and cutting out problems before they start. Because when you learn how to speak man speak and woman speak, you'll understand that women need a tremendous amount of detail when they're communicating, and men don't. For women, words are relationships. So the more words, the more the connection, because the more the relationship. And for men, details, generally, when relating to each other, are not the way that they connect with each other. Because how do men connect with other men? They experience together. They do things together. That's what creates the bond and the connection, not the words. Men will use details in conversation, but not to connect. Men will use details in conversation because they want to give over what they think is very interesting information. Did you know that the Boston Red Sox last year had a batting average a little bit higher than they did in 1912 when they're... I mean, really, who cares? But for them, that's very interesting information. And so they want to give it over in as much detail, but not to connect, but because the information's interesting. But women use details to connect. The other way we have to understand learning how to speak woman speak and man speak is when dealing with issues. Women want to talk it out. And talking out the issue, going into the feelings, is the way that they work through their issues. Because women are relationship beings, relationship oriented, and they're feeling oriented. When they go into the feelings, that is how they work it out. So they want to discuss their feelings. They want to go through it. And they don't want any solution-oriented discussion. They want an empathy and validation of their emotions and empathy from their spouse. Because that's how they work through their issues, most of them. That's how they work through it. But men don't. Going into the feelings for a man, generally, is a confusing experience. It actually exasperates the problem and makes it worse. So we have to understand learning how to speak men speak and women speak. Now, you get that the seminar, How to Make a Good Marriage Great. You can download it off the internet. And there we go through in detail how to speak woman speak, how to speak man speak, and how to communicate effectively. Understanding this, as well as understanding our personal tendencies and our human tendencies and how we grew up in the families who grew up in the patterns, now we are ready to learn how to communicate to each other, to connect to each other. And that's the third part of what we're going to be discussing right now. Why do we communicate? What's the point of communicating in a relationship? Why do it? What does communicating do? Of course, it's a simple question, because we all know that communication is the vehicle for relating in a relationship. A relationship means relationship, relating. You guys are relating to each other. How do you relate? Why do you relate? You're relating so you can connect, so you can have that level of emotional intimacy, feeling connected to each other. Now, how do you do that? What's the greatest vehicle for doing that? Communication. Communication is how we relate to each other on every level. There's verbal, there's non-verbal. There's physical, there's emotional, there's intellectual, there's spiritual connection. And each one of these connections is a different level of communication. Here we're talking about the verbal and nonverbal communication as a means for connecting with each other. Now we've got to understand a major, major principle in communication in a relationship. And that principle is that just as we've learned on the television and through movies and through soap operas and through romance novels and through all these different vehicles that have come at us through songs, we think that the communication, the connection is the big stuff. When there's crises or when there's tremendous passion or when there's issues or when there's... You want to know something? It's true. We do connect and we do communicate at that time. We have to learn how to do that. We have to learn how to deal with our issues. Again, we have separate programs for that. But what you have to understand is what we spoke about earlier is that most of our marriage is mundane life. Most of our marriage is paying bills, changing diapers, doing carpools, chores. Most of our life together is the mundane life together. And it's really the small areas in life, the small places in our marriage is where we make the greatest connections. Because that's where we start creating the patterns that we really, really need to start connecting on all different levels. And the same is true in communication. It's really the small exchanges and the small acknowledgments are where the main connection is made. You know, when a husband or a wife tells them something, just flippant. You know, aren't those roses beautiful? And the spouse doesn't even bother to put down the newspaper or just ignores completely. And you create this pattern over and over again. And there's no look and there's no smile and there's no, wow, I see what you're saying. Or just these little exchanges as you're driving in the car and the spouse says, oh, no, look at that tree, and you'd look over, and you just look over, and you go, beautiful, just for a second. Or you are looking at a child, and you smile, and you say, and you just make that connection. Or you read something in the newspaper, and you say, isn't it interesting what happened in Tennessee today? And the spouse acknowledges on a very simple level. That's where we build up our habits of connecting to each other. On the small things. And because 90% of the marriage, 90% of the relationship is in the small things, if we create that habit of connecting in the small things, then we have an overall sense of connection in the relationship, an overall sense of connection in that relationship, so that we will make the commitment we need to make to weather the storms. Because we feel the connection already, and it's not a big deal. It's just a decision to do it. Because it's not that big a deal. It's the old famous analogy of the water on the rock. You take a look at this water which is drip, 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 dripped onto a rock. And the rock has a big indent. So you go, wow, I wonder what caused that indent. Because you look up really, really closely and you see that every little drop of water is just splashing off. You can't see it. Digging a burrowing a hole in the rock doesn't look like it. But you drop enough little drops of water on a stone and you're going to end up creating Niagara Falls or the Grand Canyon. Because every drop counts. And that's communication. Do you want to feel that connectivity, that wonderful bond in the relationship? Drop, drop, drop. Every little drop of communication water in the relationship is what creates the bond in that relationship. It's the small exchanges and the small acknowledgments is where the true connection is made. Dr. John Gottman, he's a professor in the University of Washington. He has a love lab. And a love lab is this institute that he has where he takes couples into a lab. And he sets them up with all these different monitors, and he scientifically, over the last 20-odd years, has monitored couples the way they relate to each other. And then he has created the scientific evidence and data to show people how to relate and how not to relate. And he recorded a lot of this in a book called The Seven Principles for Making a Marriage Work. And I want to read something to you that he wrote. I'm going to read it directly. I think it's wonderful. He says, "Our archives are filled with scenes in which the husband looks out at the picture window and says, 'Wow, look at that boat.' And the wife peers over her magazine and says, 'Yeah, looks like a big schooner we saw last summer, remember?' And then the husband grunts." He writes, "You might think I'd be viewing hour after hour such scenes unbearably boring, but actually on the contrary. When couples engage in lots of chit-chat like this, I can be pretty sure that they will stay happily married." I'm going to read that again. "When couples engage in lots of chit-chat like this, I can be pretty sure that they will stay happily married. What's really happening in these brief exchanges is that the husband and wife are connecting. They're turning towards each other. In couples who go on to divorce or live together unhappily, such small moments of connection are rare. More often, the wife doesn't even look up from her magazine. And if she does, her husband doesn't acknowledge what she says." What Dr. Gottman is telling us is the principle we've been talking about, that the small exchanges and acknowledgments is where the connection is really made. Now, I want to tell you something. I got a very practical tools to learn how and strategies to learn how to make that connection. And we're going to learn about those in a second. But it's really all predicated in that the husband and the wife both have to make the commitment that they're going to use these tools to connect. And that's what the workshop is going to be helping us do, is make that commitment to learn how to do it. And in order to do that, we have to learn certain active listening skills. Now, most experts in communication talk about active listening skills, and they say that we should use our active listening skills when dealing with issues in the relationship. And I agree 100%, we got to learn our active listening skills, and we have to learn how to apply them when we're dealing with issues in the relationship. Very, very important. But the problem is that if you only use them when you have issues, sometimes that's the hardest time to use them, because our emotions are so invested, it's hard to use the skills I'm about to give you. You got to learn, you got to try. But I'm telling you a secret, is that the place to really use the active listening skills is in the mundane small exchanges. And if we use them here, that's where we're going to feel the connection more and more and more. I'm going to give you a few examples of what we call the mundane, of the active listening skills. And then I'm going to ask you to take out your pen and your piece of paper, and very slowly, I'm going to read over some of these, and I want you to write them down. Now, let's just talk about a couple of them. See, it's really important, the active listening skills, it's really important that we learn these, because listening is probably the most important communication skill that there is out there, is learning how to listen. It's astounding how much we need the skill in our life, in our relationships, in our parenting, in our friendships, with our parents, with our extended family, in business, when we're at the store, with the waiter, whatever it may be, we need to use listening skills. But how many people have really learned how to listen properly? I don't remember taking a course in high school or even in university how to listen. It doesn't make any sense. It's the most practical skill that we could have. And who's teaching us? We're supposed to figure it out. So I'm going to give you a few of the main rules for learning how to listen in what's called active listening. For example, you got to show real interest. When they're talking to you, whatever they're talking about, you got to show real interest. If you're not showing interest, you've just broken down the communication completely. Imagine talking to somebody and they're looking back at you and you're bored. Would you want to talk to someone like that? Imagine a salesman is trying to sell you something and you go, "Tell me about your product." And he goes back to you and says, "Well, you know, I've been selling this product for 50 years, and I think it's a wonderful product. It can change your life for the better, and I think you should. How long would you last with this salesman? Tell me. I mean, you gotta have enthusiasm, you gotta have excitement, you gotta have passion, and at very least, you gotta show interest. Because if you're not showing interest, why would they want to communicate with you? So you gotta show that interest. And if the interest is not there in terms of what they're saying, what if it's just boring? You don't want to listen. You know what the interest, you know what you're interested in? In them. So you can go in your mind, you say, wow, I'm so interested in you as a human being, you as my wife, you as my husband. What I'm interested in is really listening to you to figure out how you find that interesting. All of a sudden, now you're interested because you want to see how it's interesting to them, even though you could care less about what it is they're talking about. Show real interest. Find interest in what they're saying. That opens up the communication. And you should invite more details. Because when they say something, you should say, wow, you know, I'd like to hear more about that. Or tell me more. That's so interesting. Tell me about that. Oh, I could say, wow. And you invite them to open them up to tell more about what it is they need. And then, of course, you mustn't give any advice. Don't just listen. Don't give any advice. You want to be a listener. You want to be a listener. And you mustn't, of course, use cliches or any stock phrases. Oh, well, that's water off a duck's back. Ooh, I see that. That would be like two birds, a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. Or, yeah, oh, please, come on, be a human being. Open up, listen. And then, of course, you want to validate their feelings and show you understand and say, I can see why you would feel that way. Once you do that, the basic listening skills, basic active listening skills, then you invite the person to want to talk to you. There's a communication expert in the States. Her name is Madeline Burley Allen. And she wrote what she calls the Good Listening Ground Rules. She has quite a few of them. I broke it down into 7 ground rules, 7 of the most important ground rules based on her work. And I want you to write these down. I'll say them slowly. Go get your pen and your paper. I'll wait for you. Make sure you have your pen and paper. I want you to write these down. This is the first step of the workshop. Go ahead. Pause the program. Go get your pen and paper. Okay, we're back? Okay, great. So this is write down good listening ground rules. That's your title. There's going to be 7 of them. Number 1, don't interrupt. Number 2, don't change the subject or move in a different direction. Number 3, don't rehearse in your own head while they're talking. Number 4, don't interrogate. Number 5, don't teach. Number 6, don't give advice. And number 7, reflect back that you understand the way that they feel. Again, number 7, reflect back to them that you understand the way that they feel. Double underline the word feel. All right, let's go through them one more time. Don't interrupt. Don't change the subject or move in a different direction. Don't rehearse in your own head. Don't interrogate them. Don't teach. Don't give advice. And reflect back to them that you understand that the way that they feel. All right, those are the 7 ground rules. You have those written down now. Excellent. Now, what I would like you to do is I'd like you and your spouse to take turns to talk about something that happened to you during the day. And while you're talking about it, I want to make sure that you have in front of you, the listener has in front of you, the 7 ground rules. So while they're talking, look over the ground rules. Make sure you're not interrupting. Don't change the subject or move in a different direction. Don't rehearse in your head. Just listen. Just listen to them. Don't interrogate them. What do you mean by that? Where did it come from? Of course, you don't teach them. Oh, that reminds me of a parable that I heard from an old Greek philosopher who said that, please, come on, just listen. Don't give advice. I don't want your advice. I want you to listen. and then reflect back that you understand the way they feel. So when they give an opinion about what they're talking about during the day, you can't believe what happened to me today at work. I was so boring when there were no calls. So now reflect back that the way you understand the feel. Don't give a glib answer like, well, that's business. Or say something like, well, you know, you can't, you should be more proactive. And that's all advice and that's all the nonsense. Just reflect that you understand the way that you feel. You can't be so boring. Oh, I understand. I've had days like that. Boy, it's draining. Is that how you felt? Will you feel drained by it? Reflect back that you understand the way they feel. Use these 7 ground rules while listening. Now take a turn. The husband and wife will take a turn and then you switch. And then the wife will talk about something that happened in her day. And then the husband should put these in front of him and look them over while they're talking. Okay, do that now. The last part of the workshop is I want you to both schedule into your day timer, into your schedule, in writing, that every single day for the next week, for 1 week, every single day for the next week, you're going to take 10 minutes a day, with both of you, preferably in the evening, and both of you together, find a common time, a common 10 minutes, maybe the last 10 minutes before you go to sleep, or after you put the kids to bed, or when you get home from work, whatever it may be, take 10 minutes a day for a week, and I want you to repeat this workshop, where you take out the list, you read it over. If somebody talks about their day for 10 minutes, you go over the list, make sure that you don't do all the don'ts, and then you reflect back the way they feel, and then you switch. The whole thing should take only 10 minutes a day. And we start doing this, and you're going to start seeing how the connection that we make, the real connection that we make in communication and relating to each other, is really in the small exchanges. We will learn how to deal with big issues. We will learn how, issue by issue, how to communicate with each other, to be on each other's team. But the first thing we must do is create that sense of goodwill. We have to create that connection in the majority of the relationship. And the most important thing to remember, it's just a choice. This is your choice. Do you want to feel connected through communication? Make the decision that you're going to do this. You went through the exercise. We understand the history of how we communicate, how as human beings we're different, how it comes from our childhood, how we've repeated those patterns in our marriage, and how each of us feels when we do feel that sense of communication and connection. We've talked it out. We've discussed it. We've also understood the major differences between men and women in the communication styles. And we understand that really most of communication is in that mundane world. It's the small exchanges. Now what we need to do is we need to make that commitment that we're going to do it every day. Try it for a week and do it every single day. When your spouse tells you something, take that second and acknowledge what they say with the glance, with the smile, and with the word. And when we start doing this, we'll start creating a pattern of communication to connection, which is what we want, a communication to connect. We start creating that pattern so that we will also have the habit when it comes to dealing with the major issues. I want to thank you so much for the privilege and the opportunity to guide you through the issue of communication in marriage. Do the work and build the marriage of your dreams. Build the marriage you always wanted. Good luck and God bless.
We hope you've enjoyed this free MP3. Please be sure to tell your friends about happywife.com.